Everyone, welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You show, and my name is Elisa.
My name is Better Late Than Never. I'm not doing it on purpose. My name is Liz. Oh my God, it's so funny. I call in. I usually like to give anywhere from a minute, 30 seconds to a minute. And the last two shows, I come on during the intro, and I'm not trying to challenge myself. I'm not, being part of a bet. I bet you can make. I'm not doing any of that. It's just very funny. I made my coffee without putting the coffee in.
That was oh my good. God! You got some filtered water, hot.
I got some hot ass filtered water, and I put on my pants backwards.
It's been a banner day already, huh?
Banner day. It's a long one. It's starting with this show, and it probably won't end. Let's see. Probably another 12 and a half, 13 hours to go. So it's just one of those days that when I leave the house, like I'm out. One of those, lots of things happening. And here we are. And just processing. Processing so much as we all are. And staying afloat, and also just in the periphery, there's just so much going on that, I think I'm hearing just enough, what's been happening with news and things of that nature, just hearing conversation about, did you know this just happened? And I'm like, oh, God. Okay. It's amazing what you can piece together without listening to the news and not looking for. It's amazing how you can really still, and I'm not even on Facebook. Piece together. I am on Twitter and Instagram, but between very limited social media and just being out and about, what you can piece together and have a sense of wow already. Wow. So I think unconsciously that adds to just the, everybody's adjusting.
I was thinking about that earlier, actually, we were talking about the transition from the 9 of 2016 into the 1 of 2017. And how, we tend to be optimistic at the end of the year because it's been such a hard year. We look for next year to be, I'm so ready for, January 1st. And how that feels now, the reality of it is like, what the hell just happened? It's that overlap again between, or the transition, I should say, between the 9 and the 1, particularly this cycle, because there's always going to be a transition between years, universal transitions. But when we go from what is essentially, we look at these numbers like I would do on the show, it was a 2016, where like the first three numbers are that's same old, right? It's like looking at what's being connected, person, and then it goes to the individual, so 201. But then that 6, which is generally a loving vibration, but can also on the extreme side be smothering or trying to be protective to the point where the people or the things that you're trying to protect don't don't get the benefit of an experience, whether it's good or bad.
Wow.
It's
That's
being
very
sheltered.
Helpful.
Yeah, it's being sheltered from an experience or different types of experiences. So when you're, if I'm assuming you as a protector, the person sheltering, and I say this is true for all of us to some degree, or maybe we're being sheltered from something, we're perfectly fine with that until all of a sudden it's not. So I'm just thinking of the presidential transition, and so much changes have been happening, have been initiated, that you're like, you're sort of just sent reeling. And again, you know, by my saying that, I think you know where I stand and who I voted for. And I'm trying to look at it as neutral, even though I can use that word, as neutral position as possible, because I'm thinking, you know, if you're in a new administration, you want to take action quickly. You want to get an idea of what's happening, you know, the lay of the land and what needs to happen now that you're
marking
in charge.
Your territory.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think it's definitely happened before with changes in either, you know, gag orders and, you know, let's not, no communication. Let's just hiring freezes because I need to figure out, you know, what's what. And that takes time. So that I can understand. Even if I don't agree, I can understand. So now we go to 2017. So again, first three numbers, 201, same. This is, you know, the bridges you make or burn, what centers you, what grounds you, if at all, if anything. And then how does that affect you as the individual in terms of what you want to do out in the world and in your own home? And then that seven is telling you, bring it back inside, in self, you know, inside who you are. And so now this is not about being protected or protecting anything. This is about understanding at the core of who you are.
Right.
What is that? And I would say for me, it's made me think, because yeah, I have a lot of sympathy for people who are up in arms and the people who tend to be the activists. And I've never been that type of person. I dated a lot of people who tend to be like, well, you know, up in arms, kind of, you know, I have a mother who I can already picture shaking her little fists, even if it's not necessarily politically aligned. You know, there's that attitude with a lot of people where I'm going to say something, because honestly, stuff doesn't get done if nothing is said or shouted, you know? So
true.
I can, oh my gosh, I can, I'm very thankful for those people throughout history who have been on that front line and said, you know what, this is not right. And even if it wasn't safe for them, which is true, when you're in the face of opposition, it's never safe. But if you feel that strongly about it, that you do it, risking, you know, everything, risking, you know, your body, risking, you know, your life for something that you believe in, I can understand, you know, there have to be people like that. I'm just saying, I'm not one of those people. But to do it for myself in that way.
Right.
So while you have people in society who will take up those causes and sometimes it's a backlash if you don't do anything, like if you don't wear the chant or if you don't do whatever we're doing, then you're part of the problem, not the solution. There are definitely people who have that that attitude, and it's all or nothing.
Right.
Yeah. It's you know, it's a very strong stance.
It's extreme. We talk about
extreme.
This.
Right.
It's extreme, and I, you know, I agree with you. God bless those people. I am right with you, and I'm of the school of there are ways in your everyday life, in your mm-hmm. lifetime, to still perhaps lead to the same result.
Right.
And it, you know, it might be a different pathway. But it's a same, it could be an equal, if not greater, contribution. So the person that is extreme in their and their activism. It could be a lot of extreme action in a very concentrated amount of time. Mm-hmm. And for others, such as myself, it could be every day as part of a lifestyle. That it's
right.
not extreme, but it would have the same result, if not a greater result.
Mm.
You know?
Well, and I feel you're right. You know, as a student of philosophy, the biggest thing that stuck with me when I was learning about, you know, philosophies of the world, it was basically, you know, there are many ways to get to the same point.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
And while there is there's strength in numbers, no pun intended, there's strength
right.
in numbers.
Oh,
I know. You still they're kind of showing me how even there, maybe there is a pun intended, because you know every number builds on itself
right.
as we switch, you know, how we're talking about this. So while you have numbers or people who fit that one, and they're showing me like this one, the number one, where the one isn't even thinking about the people with them. It's just, I'm doing it because it needs to get done and no one else
right.
is going to do it. So I'm going to do it. And then the two is there, even without the one's knowledge, maybe always with that one, because that's what twos do,
right.
being supportive, and they help out. And so they're maybe taking care of these other details that the one would never think about, because that's not what they're thinking about. That's, you know, that's just like, those are consequences that they're not even wired to look at, because if they're always looking forward, they're not looking necessarily around them to see, well, how is that affecting anything? They don't, but by and large, their actions are not really decided by popular opinion. it's their opinion. So there's a lot of fearlessness in those kinds of actions. But it's not complete. You know, if it were, then you just have that one number, you know, we would all be about just that one, and not, you know, and in a smaller sense versus that one, which is kind of interesting in a bigger sense that includes everything, not just one thing, but it all becomes one thing. So we talk about these complexities and how energies kind of build on each other, and what we define as even in a number, a one or two or a three,
right.
it's all basically the same stuff, but what is being expressed
mm-hmm.
is going to be different. So these numbers that come behind it, they take care of details, they organize stuff, or maybe they make a big mess only as a result of, or as a need to kind of, you know, to see what everything is about. Not that they know how to put everything back together, but they know how to take stuff apart just in being curious. I have a brother who did that growing up. I had, you know, two brothers, and one brother knew how to take things apart and put it back together again, had the patience for it. Had another brother that also tried to take things apart, but never quite got around to putting things back together again. It was like, I got to go out and play. You know, it was like ADD.
Right.
So each element is necessary, whether it's because something needs to start, but then there's also something that needs to finish.
Right.
And all the stuff that happens in between, somewhere along the line, you know, some of you will fit in and know maybe multiple roles that you play. Maybe you're a starter and a finisher, but all that stuff in the middle, like, you know, I guess someone else has got a better head for that. So it's really going to be interesting where each of us fits in. You know, this is not necessarily about politics, but I think this is what's ruling the day right now. And there are people who need to have an outward expression. So they're organizing, they're calling on others to organize. It's like all these soldiers getting ready to fight. And for spiritual people who are like, man, I got enough internal fighting going on that, you know, that's all the wars I can handle. But how can you stay relevant? How can, not that you're irrelevant, but how can you say relevant in the cause of what are we moving towards? Because we're all moving towards something.
Right.
So this seven is a reminder that there's internal work to be done, as there always is, but this is now kind of giving you a framework to consider. And even if you don't act, you know, the way everyone else is acting, you know, you may have, I would say a lot of people have maybe holding two that seems to be opposed viewpoints, or they can entertain those two viewpoints, whether it's because you grew up a certain way, but now you don't live that way, but you know what your foundation was or what you were told. So I think a lot of people, at least in this country, maybe it's not as black and white. You know, sometimes the things that you talk the loudest about are the things that scare you the most, because
yes.
you don't know how
yes.
how that affects you. You know, to not do that, you know, maybe in the face of defying your family or your parents,
right?
You know, your culture. So there's a lot of big stuff happening. You know, and that's what we're feeling. So universally with this, you know, the 2016 transition to 2017, and seeing all the things, as I'm still on Facebook. I every day I think about you, Liz, and how you've opted not to. And I think, wow, can you imagine if I didn't do that, you know?
The time that it takes and then all that information, you know, a lot of it is great. A lot of it is scary. A lot of it is appalling.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just leaves you open to just look at a bunch of stuff from a lot of people you don't really know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I ain't got time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and even that, like for me to look at articles, and interestingly enough, I will look at not only articles, but I would say I'm more interested in comments from people who have opposing
yeah.
viewpoints. And you're always, you know, we're so free with our comments on Facebook. But it is interesting because I can kind of take it with a grain of salt, because I've seen it over the years. And we talked about this on another show where mm-hmm. you know, people are very comfortable on their keyboards, but they would
right.
these are things that they would never say to someone's face.
Nope.
Although that's actually changing now too, for better,
true.
For worse. So I've been able to look at different threads, and I would say since the inauguration, I've got friends on both sides of the issue, or be on both sides of politics,
right?
And in a way, I'm like, I'm glad, because I need to know. I need to know what other people think who don't think the same way I do.
You want to make a balanced you want to have a balanced opinion yourself of
sure,
you
sure.
Know,
well,
yeah.
you know, and if you, well, for me, growing up, it to ever be dismissed because you know you're too young to know, you're a girl, you can't do it. That's the worst thing to hear.
Right.
And so you pay attention to those things, and so in a sense, it's like, well, yeah, there are some people that. Their personalities are so big that I cannot handle that.
Right.
So I know right now where my limitations, I think I know where my limitations are, but for the most part, I have been going outside of my comfort zone, and it's not that difficult, because it's actually, I can, to be able to practice this, to hear a dissenting viewpoint, in a way I've had practice all my life.
Sure.
You know, if you, you know, anyone who has parents, if you didn't get along great with them, or if you just always fought with them, it doesn't matter. I think you probably have grown up with somebody, whether it could be, it's probably a relative, because that's probably the only reason why you'd stay in that environment for as long as you did. But there's always going to be someone who doesn't think what you say is right, or what you're doing, or how you're doing it. There's always going to be some little criticism.
Right.
So in a way, like, yeah, I kind of grew up with that. And
yeah.
So there's an allowing of, well, is that true? Is that true for me? When I was younger, I would think I would believe it. And as I've gotten older, I realized, no,
yep.
that isn't true.
Right.
That was a way of being protected from failure, maybe. Oh, you can't
maybe.
Do that. You just don't know. You don't know
right.
how to do it. So I'll just do it. So now the experience of maybe not doing it the same way it has been done had been taken away, you know, so that you won't have to experience that failure, which kind of reads into, I don't want to be embarrassed by you. And that's how I took it. And I was like, okay, I don't want to be embarrassed by you trying this, so let's not even do it.
Right.
So it's been interesting to kind of reconcile some of those feelings from way back, you know, as a little kid, when we were just growing up, and realizing how that, you know, how that has maybe shaped where I will more than likely listen than say something,
mm-hmm.
although even that has changed. But I know growing up, it was almost better to not say anything at all and just observe how things played out. And whether, you know, don't even do the, well, I told you so, because that doesn't work either. If things pan out the way you thought it was going to, and you're like, you know, you kind of have to master this look of, well, it happens, you know, but because gloating isn't really, it may be satisfying on one end, but it's not conducive to a good environment in the bigger
right.
picture. So, you know, you learn these things along the way, whether you had that experience as a child or as you ended up as an adult looking at these things, having an opposing viewpoint, but still being able to go about your life, because we see things in extreme. All of our entertainment is in the extreme. So it will evoke an emotion out of us, you know, or a set of emotions. You know, you don't tell a story of, you know, it was a good day, I woke up, it was fine, I went to bed. Like no one's going to believe you. if you got rid of all the different things that made it a great day for you, maybe it was great because you overcame something. And that's sort of what people are geared to looking at. That's the right, like duality of our existence right now. Has
right.
been for a long time. So in the last few days, reading the threads and seeing where people on both sides have tried to kind of rein it in a little bit without bashing, and just seeing that has been really a positive thing for me.
Yeah.
Because I can tell that they are trying to not completely lose it and not completely cut ties with people that they've known for a long time.
Right.
They're trying to salvage something, find something where, you know, but, you know, in the end, people are like, you're not going to change my mind. And that's probably true. Like posting things
right.
are not going to change people's minds of people who already don't believe that.
Exactly. And it goes to the greater question of how much impact do you have for change? Well, you do in your own life, and it really goes down to a matter of communication. You know what you're talking about, where you're seeing a progress in the communication of, okay, it's going to be tempered on both sides to salvage, as you say, to maintain a connection. And at the end of the day, what's the most important issue? What is more important to hold on to? So if someone's saying, well, you can post whatever you want, but you're not going to change my mind. Okay, we have to accept that.
Right.
But the bigger issue is, but did we temper our communication enough so that it's refined and transformed? And we're going back 10 years of information, over 10 years of information that was given to me when I found myself overwhelmed with these energies trying to get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to that concept of the refinement of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting how that's coming back, you know, into what you're talking about.
Right. Right.
So not about mm-hmm. trying to change someone's opinion, trying to change who they are, trying to change their manner, so to speak. That can't come from an outside. It can be influenced from the outside.
Right.
To inspire self-directed change. But I think the bigger piece is communication. Because if the communication isn't at that place of refinement and transformation, then what relationship is there?
Right.
Regardless of what the backdrop is, today's backdrop can be all the chaos and change and adjusting to this new year and this new regime. And another day it could be something else.
Mm-hmm.
The backdrop can always change, but who the players are, that really doesn't change.
Right.
But what you can change is the communication. And if you see that it's not communication, because you're still judging the person you're communicating with, so it's mannered and it's patronizing, that's not real. And that's really avoiding the core issue of looking inside of yourself and in the manner in which you communicate, as opposed to, well, you know, bless their heart. I'm doing, you know, I'm going to express myself this way for them because they're all misguided and I know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't do anything.
Right.
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 So it's interesting.
I think it really comes down
to communication. Right, Sophie?
That's right, Sophia.
Yeah, she's like, I'm communicating right now.
She wants to sit on my lap, but I'm not in a place where you can sit in my lap. I'm sorry, little one.
But that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we have to be very mindful of. And I think in what you're saying, how on both, you know, on opposing sides, on both sides, that you're and I think it's a beautiful thing that you're recognizing a cautious restraint to protect the relationship, because what's the alternative? And it's mutual. See, do you see how it's a balanced equation? Because it really goes down to balance as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we always go back to questioning extremity. If something's extreme, there's a lot to question there.
Mm-hmm.
And often the extreme nature is a call to action or it's a call to wake up, but it's a tool. It's a catalyst, but it's not 24/7 because it would kill a person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some people do die in the name of.
Right, right.
Historically speaking, and today still, you know, depending on where you are. So, you know, the grand myth of, or the ideology of the martyr, the saint, you know, the heroics of that, that's extreme.
Right.
But it's there. Very interesting. And, not that I really want to harp on this too much, but I just have to clear. I'm going to put myself on mute to just clear my throat. I'll be right back.
Okay. I was having to figure that out earlier also. I'm like, oh, I haven't had any water yet, and I feel like I have to. And so.
Love that mute button. I'm back. But just talk about Facebook. Not that I want to harp too much, but I'm so glad I'm not on it. But, of course, see, when you're on Twitter, you still can get links to Facebook once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people. Yeah. So it's like I'm you know, not totally out of the loop, but out of the loop in the point that it's – it just is easier to digest. But this actor, I forget his name, that took his life on Facebook Live.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Oh, well, you
An
will.
Actor?
Yes, up and coming actor. I think it happened yesterday. And I guess had suicidal depression. And took his life on Facebook Live.
Reading
about that on Twitter. See? You got the Twitter, and it's still like, you know, I'm getting just derivative. And I believe it was reposted. This is like the frightening part of it. Why are you going to repost that? That's what I'm talking about, where all of a sudden we're getting so numb In a lot of cases, sure, on the other side, there's awareness, there's a call to action, but we're getting so desensitized to that extreme of just the regard for human life and privacy of the family, and just this, you know, executions are on, like, it's just another reason to get off of it. And I used to manage a group that on Facebook that had, oh my goodness, I don't even remember how many, 10,000 members, I mean thousands of members worldwide, and it was casting related, so of course, ooh, candy, casting related, so it had all these members, and I had to monitor it. I didn't for a while, then all these posts were just like, okay, so these people selling sunglasses, and okay, let me just approve the post. And some of the things, that's what really began a while back my sort of kind of dismay a little bit with just what's out there in the world. Some of the things that I had to ban so many people from the group. I don't know what people are doing in Thailand, but Thailand was the country that they would send. They would send the freakiest, I'm just gonna say, just the freakiest things that I'm like, I couldn't take it anymore. And then some neo-Nazi people, and me, I'm like, I'm a empathetic squared, you know. I had to shut it down. I shut it down. So that was the beginning of the end with Facebook. And then, like, I don't know, 3 months ago, just a few months ago, sometime late last year, maybe October, November, I said to myself, you know what? Am I really getting any business from Facebook? Am I? I don't know. Am I trying to hustle business on Facebook? Not really, because there's just so much to go through. Do I want to be more effective with the use of my time? Yes. It reminded me when I quit smoking decades and decades and decades ago. I quit smoking. I was in my 20s. It was a long time ago. I felt like I gained back so much time.
Mm.
And that's what I feel like with Facebook. I got so much time back. I'm so much more productive. It's amazing how productive I've become, with not just with the Facebook, but just with also redirecting how I do my work. I'm more productive than I've ever been, which is phenomenal.
Right.
And necessary. Yeah, but honey, and we're all about by any means necessary, because there's no NEA. I'm like, oh, and that's the National Endowment for the, I mean, I am scrambling.
Right.
Yeah. See, I'm scrambling to finish things because the grants and the support for the arts, they're pretty much not going to exist. And and someone who's very active in the arts, I am scrambling to get stuff done.
Right.
To complete it and to move on from there. And then take it from, you know, and then see, okay, that's the most healing of acts in an uncertain world, and in switching things up personally of what is acceptable and what is no longer acceptable. I'm putting all of that uncertainty and shifting into diligence and high productivity. That's all I know how to. I know how to work hard and take care of my family. Those are the two things I know how to do. So I'm doing them. I'm doing both things with such a intent. There's this other stuff. Oof. Yeah. So that was this big thing that cross-pollinated onto Twitter about this up and coming actor, and there we go, Facebook Live. Because, you know, people will take these things, Facebook Live, Snapchat, and it just leaves it open for all types of things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, that's freedom of speech. Not going to take that away. But it just goes to that place so quickly. I mean, Facebook Live is, what, 6 months old or something? I don't know when they came out with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just remember seeing a little icon. I'm like, what is that for? I'm like, oh, I'll push it. I'm like, well, no. there's no reason for that to be on there for me.
Right, and it sneaks up on you. When it first came out, I was still on Facebook. When it first mm-hmm. came out, and so I'm looking, you know, I'm looking at different posts and all of that. And, oh, I'm like, oh, what's, oh, someone is, what is that? And then they know that you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they're talking to you. I'm like, oh, no. No. And then I'm like, how do I get out of it? And then you can't get out of it. And then you feel like you have to engage in conversation. I'm like, no. And then you just, then it's just this, you know, or they're, or, yeah, people are like drunk. Hey, Liz. I'm like, oh, no. Hey, y'all. No. Yeah. And I'm like, no. I didn't know what that was. I pushed the wrong thing. Like you did. No. That, oh, so now you know that I'm watching. No. I didn't even want to watch. No, I wanted to see this BuzzFeed recipe. Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, I still watch my TV shows. Apparently, I watch the TV shows that are probably on the brink of being canceled. On a handful of these TV shows, and knowing at least a little bit that, you know, it's not like these things were, oh, they were just filmed yesterday, you know, ripped in the headlines, because some of these have not been. Some of these maybe contribute to headlines that happen soon after they air. But there was an episode on one of the shows I watched. This was probably at least a couple of weeks ago, where it was a crime scene or a show, and the guy, one of the characters, was locked in. He was a big time star. I think he was a record producer, but he was being accused of killing, I think, his girlfriend or something like that. So he got on Facebook Live as the cops were, like, you know, surrounding his mansion, and he's streaming. He's streaming live.
There you go.
In the episode, he's streaming live, and one of the main characters of the show was able to come in there and, like, you know, because that's how they knew where he, you know, where is he, what is he doing, and they're like, oh, well, he's on Facebook Live streaming his own his own scenario here, like whatever's going on with him, it was interesting that you then just said that, because I know that before there had been stories of people who have, unfortunately,
right,
who have also done the same thing, not like being holed up somewhere and decided, you know, I'm free or I'm innocent, but to have this, like, I'm going to end my life and have it stream, you know, as you're doing it. You're right in that we've become so desensitized, because that's been going on for a long time.
And then
that's been going on for a long time.
But yeah, all the shows and stuff, like I get it, you know, and Westworld is the best example of the intelligence behind presenting extreme violence.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard. And then not everybody's going to look at it like that. It's from the intelligent point of view. They're going to look
mm-hmm.
at this as, yeah, more numbing and more desensitized, you know, of a process of desensitizing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's frightening because of all the copycat stuff that happens, the content that's out there. But, you know, again, freedom of speech, freedom of expression.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to do because how can you really and fairly regulate? You can to a degree.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, and they try, like, with the ratings, even on TV episodes, but it's when it's when it's bombarded, you know, and it's around, and that's just, and that's really in America, because there are shows that we have on mainstream, you know, the main networks on prime time, not even a 10 o'clock show, but an 8 o'clock show that would show in countries elsewhere.
Because the
content is so violent. And so we've sort of just been okay with it. Like, oh, well, and we think we know. I mean, you know, I'm talking as, you know, a 45-year-old woman growing up in America and seeing the things that I've seen. And I'm remembering when cable was a big deal, you're kind of like with Facebook Live, you're kind of pushing buttons. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is this channel? You know, I found MTV. That's amazing.
Right.
And it was like the surprise of, well, what else is on these little channels? You know, then you want to have more. Because it was not something you had seen before,
right?
But you know, I told you I was watching old episodes of Fantasy Island. So
right,
like,
love it.
You know, 78, not incredibly violent. I mean, you know, it wasn't necessarily a show set up like that. I don't know if I saw old episodes, really old episodes of Hawaii 5-0. I don't know if I'd see something different, but you know, that was when I was. 7 years old,
right?
You know, seeing that and they, you know, not even able to stay up late enough to watch it. I mean, so the timing of things, when, you know, most kids would be asleep by now. I struggle to stay up, because if you could stay up past Love Boat and watch Fantasy Island, I always get like the first half of it and never get the conclusion of it. So maybe that's why I'm watching these old episodes. But the content there wasn't so much with this overt violence. I mean, there was definitely you know, like crimes that were happening on the island, or you know, things like that, because some of the fantasies were about righting wrongs. So but it was not to the extreme of what we see now on a regular show, earlier on in the time frame, you know, like prime time. So we've, in a sense, I don't say we've evolved, but we have grown to include that's just part of everyday life.
Right.
And it is sad. I mean, but you're right. You know, like I don't want to be the one saying, well, you can't have that. I mean, that was a big deal for a lot of like Greek philosophers who were trying to control the arts. So when I remember reading that in college, thinking, well, wait a minute, they're, you know, trying to control all this stuff,
right?
Because then who gets to say, who decides what is filtered through?
Right.
That's a big responsibility as well. So again, we go to these extremes of, you know, there can be no art because it can be misconstrued, and yet, you know, there's everyday violence that is filtered through, that is allowed as a pass. Like, okay, well, that's just entertainment. Oh, okay. Okay.
Right.
Entertainment. So now we have, you know, a few generations here of kids who've grown up, you know, kind of just, that's just what they saw. And that's
and video
probably what
game.
They acted out.
The gaming culture.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So you throw that in.
Which is something that I'm not involved in, you know, but I know my brother is he's a big gamer. He likes, he likes being online. And you know, you have sons too, where you like, they get into it.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the new heroine. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's, there's definitely like we talked about this, you want to need to, you want to protect them. But, and this is what's interesting, what's coming up now is I have, I've got a big family and they've got all different kinds of religions. They weren't all just Catholic. They weren't all Jehovah's Witness. Some of them were Mormon. But this one was a cousin of mine who grew up Jehovah's Witness. And my aunt and uncle didn't want them. It was a boy and a girl, my cousins. The boy was the oldest. So they didn't want him playing with guns. Not like real guns, obviously, but toy guns. So I mean, we weren't allowed to give them gifts anyway because they don't celebrate birthdays.
Right.
So we couldn't give them gifts. We couldn't celebrate Jesus' birthday, so we didn't give them Christmas gifts.
Oh, my God.
No, we didn't give them gifts, period, because there's no reason for it. But they definitely didn't want to have any like toy guns in the house. We didn't want him growing up violent. That was
yeah,
you know,
well,
that was their way,
right?
Of trying to protect him, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. You know, you have these parents first time, so they're first time parents,
right? And they're going to the first time. It's like that Love's commercial. First time parents, they're going to go all out.
Right. So they do everything they can, you know, to protect
right.
him, and but you can't like be with him 24/7. You don't.
No, you can't isolate them. This is the world.
It's a
violent world.
Right.
Yep.
And no, he's not like gun toting, you know, 30 something year old now, but he is also one of the first to break away from his religion. He's kind of
exactly. He had to see what was that, what was out there. I knew of a similar, you know, parenting thing, and you know, we got to think about too, like where we came from and what's in our DNA. You know, hunting, gathering.
Sure.
You know, nesting, all that stuff, and not to stereotype, but just things that are just, you know, we are primal animals, basically. Mm-hmm. And there was this, like, four-year-old kid, the parents, oh, no gun, no this, no that. He took a piece of bread, and he turned that piece of bread into a gun.
Oh, my gosh. He molded it into a gun.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he wanted to play.
Right. Right.
And they didn't have any, like, it wasn't like anything on TV or anything. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted a
right.
weapon. He wanted that, you know, that's some caveman, you know.
right.
And I remember when my oldest son was like 3 or 4, he needed, three or four, he needed to be evaluated for speech therapy. And he did see a speech therapist for a little while when he was super little. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting at the evaluation, he's 3 or 4 at the most, and they're showing pictures, and he has to say what the, obviously he wasn't reading then, so he had to say what the pictures were, like, so if it was ice cream, an ice cream cone, ice, whatever. So for the hard G sound, I swear on my life, there was a picture of a gun. Now we're
that
talking.
That was what they put out.
We're talking 2001,
uh-huh.
maybe it was 2000, I would say maybe 2000, yeah, he started school in 2001 because it was his, like, third day of preschool, 9/11 hit, right?
Mm.
So I would say 2002, okay, 2002, and I said, excuse me, out of all the things with a hard G sound, that's what you, and I actually said something to her.
Right.
Because I thought, that's crazy. And it wasn't,
yeah.
it wasn't like a little toy. It was like a 45. Like it was
wow.
a picture. I mean, it was a cartoon picture. But I'm like, and you're evaluating
yeah.
a four-year-old. Or a three-year-old. I don't remember his, wait, he was like between 3 and 4. 3 going on 4, probably. And I'm just looking at, well, we could, okay. We didn't make these pictures. Okay, got it. Gotcha. But I'm like, that just didn't sit right. And it's not like, oh, I'm this Miss Anti, Miss this, Miss Radical, Miss this, whatever. But just intuitively, I'm like, that, do you guys want to maybe rethink that?
Yeah, it's a big language. There's a lot of words that
There's
start with a hard G.
How about Guatemala? Something. Guacamole.
Guacamole.
I guess they didn't want to explain. Well, it's a fabulous appetizer that originated from the Yucatan of Mexico. I guess they didn't want to take the time to break it down. So if you're gonna gun, well, I gotta know a gun. God bless America. It's a picture of that was a big gun.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there you go. And that's okay. And that's God bless the Board of Education. Now, I'm sure, because that was 15 years ago, I'm sure they probably don't use that same set of cards today. But I couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is 2002. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is interesting that it's in that, even in a stack of cards, you know. But here's the thing, you know, you were outraged. You're outraged, but
yeah,
you know,
I was just like,
you
what?
Also didn't form a big group to, you know. let's get this changed. You know, it's interesting. Well, it's just interesting because like that's not how you're wired. That's not how you're wired. But
no, I checked her. I checked her. I said, I'm going to, you know, somebody else would have not said anything and fumed.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm kind of in the middle. Again, I'm not extreme. I'm kind of in the middle. I will speak up, and I'm one to speak up, and I am one to check a situation, but I'm going to keep it moving.
Right.
Right.
Right. But I think that's what's interesting to me is that there are people who, who have that in them to say, well, we need to tell people about this. Like, who was it back in the day? Al Gore's wife, you know, Tipper Gore was the one who wanted to put, you know, labels on music with the advisory, for violent lyrics, or I don't know,
right.
if it was just, you know, explicit. Just racy lyrics. I'm not sure.
Right.
Probably not racy lyrics because all of them are kind of racy.
Right.
But yeah. And that was a whole thing. Like for some people, what I'm getting is an image of, I feel like it's all right. My people kind of having fun with it because the people who, there's something like a Downton Abbey scene. So the people who are really, who have the money, who have the power to, affect that kind of thing, it's whatever their charity is, whatever their focus is. You know, they tend to do a lot of charity work. They pick a particular charity.
Right.
So that's what they do. You know, that was what they did to kind of, you know, show that they're with the people. That's what they did because they didn't, not like they had to work, you know, they didn't have to work. They just had to figure out a way to, you know, how can I help my community? So those were like sort of the causes that they would do. So they would organize stuff. I mean, it was kind of, this is what I'm getting, which is why I'm kind of chuckling about it because maybe it's always been, initiated by people, you know, by people who have the means to do something about it.
A lot of people. Well, we talked about that with the Women's March. It's like, okay, so, you know, most of them just came back to their privileged lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's been a lot of, again, I'm not on Facebook, but just you can really get a glimpse just a little bit on Twitter where there was some crosstalk of. Women of color educating white women about the insidiousness that can exist, that racism within feminism.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I was kind of chuckling and this one woman said this in such a way that it just made me laugh out loud. She's like, it's not about you getting defensive. I'm helping you. It's no different than me saying, you know, you got some spinach stuck in your teeth. I'm helping you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like she had a chucker, then she had a chucker again, which I thought was really, was really funny because it's almost like, no, I care. I really do care. No, it's not about that. It's about your understanding because then again, you know, you're making it, you're not checking yourself. You're making it about the other person. This is about going with it. And then somebody else said, you know, you've been devastated over, you know, no more pumpkin spice lattes available or shortage. you've been more upset over a shortage of pumpkin spice lattes, you know, and now you're going to show up. Like, I just... like it just really amused me. I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna just step out of frame and grab a Diet Coke and a bucket of popcorn with some butter on it.
Right.
I'm just gonna watch this show because this is fun. This is really funny.
And it is interesting that you know because there's a lot of quibbling and I can see where y'all we shouldn't talk about that kind of stuff, but it's true because you're not all gonna have the same reasons for being there or not to be there.
It's funny.
But, regardless, you know, I think it was good that those things were brought up because you've been with people. I mean, I've been with women, like we go to a restaurant, and if the food isn't right, you know, or something, you know, and it's like a big to do, and I'm like,
oh, I don't
like it. Rein it back in. I was like, they haven't got my food out here yet, you know? or I've been in a work situation. I've been in a situation where someone in my department who also happens to be a good friend of mine, would say something like, well, we, it's really a grievance.
I'm like, don't bring
has.
Me in. Nope. Yeah, me too. I'd be like, no. Don't you bring me into that.
Right. There are, I mean, I've dealt with that recently, which was, and it brought up the same, it raised my hackles. Like, wait a minute, you don't need to justify, you know, your cause and your,
don't,
whatever your
don't
reason
throw me
to
in
bring
there.
This up
yep.
is valid on its own. You don't need to bring in other people.
Right.
You know, just say what it is. It doesn't need to be like, well, we're all going to revolt if you don't do something. It's
well,
like,
that's,
no.
That's when you're white-splaining, where you have the, or whoever, where you have the person explaining for, like, the cause for somebody else, and it's like, I can speak for myself.
Right. I just
you
think
know.
It's interesting that there's that need, and it's always struck me as very strange, because I'm like, you know, I'm here to show you some support, but it, you know, I'm here. Like, visually, I'm here with you, but
right. I'm standing by you.
Speak.
Right.
Yeah. You don't need to bring other people in. And I would say maybe that has something to do with that feeling of, well, like I said, with being a woman, like, well, it's just, you know, whatever I say is not going to be enough because I'm a woman. So if I have two women here, you know, then it's more valid. I'm like,
right.
No, it's not. It's actually just as valid on your own because
exactly.
You're you.
But that's a matter of how, you know, of her sense of validation and worthiness and
right
and all of that. But it's it's a whole thing, and you know, and a lot of people get overlooked too. There's a whole contingency of people with disabilities that are really calling out, and I'm seeing so many comments of, "Thank you, I didn't realize how ignorant I was."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, keyword being ignorance. So you can be aware to within the scope of your own experience,
sure.
And then it's that extra effort to understand that there are other perspectives and points of view as well. And I think a great example of that understanding. Not that I saw the Golden Globes, but I did see Meryl Streep's speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I felt that she expressed an understanding outside of herself.
Right.
You know, and that's that elegance and that refinement of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing to think about is how do we transform our relationships within ourselves for an understanding outside of ourselves that can be expressed through a transformation of how we communicate.
Right.
And that's difficult. That takes a lot of awareness.
You know, it is difficult. You know, another thing that just, you know, it's so funny because I feel like my people are like, no, let's put us all out there in the last, you know, minute or so of the show. But, you know, when I get together for family gatherings, you know, especially on my mom's side, and this is down in Charleston, so, you know, we have people who will speak about, and it's usually the men, who speak about things. And it, you know, it's that roughness, you know, these are, some of the jokes are really funny, and some are like, well, that's kind of, you know, not something that I probably want to repeat.
Right.
It's just because of the way it's said. It's just, it's not my language.
Right. It's not who you are.
And it's fine. You know, it's not like I'm going to go, well, you know, you need to
no,
be able to
they're
say, you know, I'm not
going to
do that.
They can.
Yeah. But it's just a reminder, you know, like that. I wouldn't say I want to make him wrong. It's just, you know, it's actually wonderful. And there are times when I'm like, I think it's never been to the point where it's been something about me or you know,
personally directed
who I am.
Right.
But it's kind of skirted on that edge, and it's like, well, you know, I can drop a bomb right here, right now. I can see my mom looking at me like, don't do it.
Hey, don't do it.
But there are people who just, they just don't know any better. That's how they speak.
I'm not going to try to change them. You walk away, you know,
right.
They're not hurting anybody, you know, and you think of that supreme image of forgive them for they do not know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it moving. And if it gets to the point where it's so inflammatory, and you know, in your earshot, or that you feel inside of yourself more than just bristled, that you feel, okay, I am going to have to turn in my membership card unless I say something.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Then you have to pick and choose, but they're entitled to express, and you know, unless it really just undid you, because that's just a reflection of how many people think, unfortunately, and we can't really judge that. It's just what it is. The same way they'd be uncomfortable if they went to a Pride festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, man on the land. Right. So
right.
It would be a whole. So that's just, it's environmental.
Mm-hmm.
And it's picking and choosing, you know, what your environment, your environments, and when you are going from one place to another, or you have to be someplace, not necessarily by choice, but by obligation. You know, I don't like going to wakes with an open casket. You know, don't like
that.
Don't like that. You know, not my thing to want to do. And I've done a few. That you just know how to manage, and you just protect yourself and take care of yourself. And yeah, so you'll know that either the opportunity will present itself or it won't, but this is the world that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
mm-hmm.
reflected all around us. So we, you know, it's about going within and exploring ways of what's acceptable, what isn't, and how to best communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes communicating is just going into another room, and they're not even aware that you went into another room.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not about attacking or calling the other person out, but when need be, it's about self-expression in as intelligent, loving way as possible,
mm-hmm.
Or to speak your truth with minimal defense. So,
and
that
is definitely a refinement, because it's not the easiest thing to do.
It's very difficult. And people just say, well, if I just, you know, act nicer to you, I kind of had to call somebody out and say, well, okay, that I appreciate that, but at the end of the day, that's like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound that hasn't been cleansed and dressed and medicated and all those other things. It's like it needs a cast, actually, not a little Band-Aid that's made for a paper cut.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not really addressing what needs to be addressed. It's very difficult. And sometimes in particular lifetimes, it doesn't really get mastered. Or it wasn't mastered in a previous lifetime, which is why it's like, okay, thank you, karma.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. Really? On top of everything else, then we got this? Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those of us, and then I know we're over time, but we'll just wrap it up now. So for those of us that were at the fancy restaurant, and then we're with the people that are sending the food back, and then you're looking at the servers and all of that, and you're looking at them with compassion, like, that's not me. That's not me. I'm going to give you a good tip. That's not me.
Right.
Don't mess with my food. Don't mess with my food. No. I got you. We're probably related. I got you. Yeah.
Come on.
You're my people. Come on. Yeah. You just see the various degrees of awareness and priority. I never, with very rare exception, and if I do it, it's because it's a deal breaker, like I can't eat it, but it has to be for a really specific reason, like an extreme reason.
Right.
I'm apologizing so much to the server, like profusely. Like, I'm like, I'm not that girl.
Right.
That girl. Like, I'm so, I'm so sorry. Only if it's okay with you. When you have time, do your other tables. I mean, I'm so like the opposite. I am so not that girl. But I think maybe I've done it once in my life or something. Like,
yeah,
I've been around people that do it. Like that's part
of the
sport.
Do it all
the
time.
It's sport. It's sport. Why are you doing that? It's sport. And I'm like, and you know, those people are sick of you. You know, my food's good. And you know what? These people got my back. They gave me extra bread and everything, and they topped off my wine for free. No, they got me because they know. No.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
Or they'll base their tip on the. It's like, no, you just tip. Come, nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Ooh.
Well,
unless
it was really, really bad service.
If it's bad service, I'll tip the bare minimum.
Right,
I will tip the bare minimum. And if it's good service, I will do extra,
Usually
I'm just kind of right in the middle.
Yeah.
If it's horrible service or whatever, I'll do a minimal tip and I might say something to somebody.
Right.
You know, like to the hostess on the way out, like, by the way, I might say, could you let da-da-da, whatever. But I don't think I've ever done that. I would. I don't think I've ever done that. But that it's a thing. It's a sport. Oh, who said going out to dinner in a nice restaurant was a sport? That you're going to freaking micromanage. Come on. I don't like the goat cheese. The goat cheese isn't quite crispy. Shut up. Goat cheese. Go to Trader Joe's and get you some goat cheese. I'll fry it up. Come on, come to my house. I know how to fry stuff. Let's go. It's not quite breaded to my satisfaction. Shut up. Come on. You know what they're going to do? You know what they're going to do, that goat cheese? They said, you want it seasoned? Here, it's called on-the-floor seasoning. They're going to throw it on the floor, and then they're going to stick it in the – go ahead. You don't know what they're doing. No. You be nice to the people in the restaurant. No.
Well, the incident that I'm remembering is the way in which it needed to be fixed. Like, well, this isn't quite cooked right. Okay, well, we're just going to get you. And the waiter's like, we're just going to get you a whole new piece. Oh, no. Just put it on the grill a little bit longer. And he's like, we can't do that. We can't. she was kind of arguing back and forth. Well, you don't need to waste that. But he's like, no. This is how we have to do it. By law, they can't put food back on the grill.
They can't cross contaminate.
So they're just going
to
give you a whole new piece. I'm like, why can't you just let that be? And let them do what they need to do.
Yeah, I would say, okay, give me some foil. I'm going to drop that piece up. I'm going to have it for a snack later and give her a new piece.
Right.
Then no one's wasting anything. But when they're micromanaging somebody else's business, somebody else's employee, why don't you go to the kitchen then? Make it your damn self.
Why do we go out to eat?
Let's go to my house. I got stuff. I'm a good cook. Let's go. Let's go to my house. No, there's some people I refuse to go out and eat with them because of that. I will not go to a public place to consume food with not too many, but like two or three people. Nope. Because that's what they, won't do it.
Oh my goodness.
So funny. Anyway, so wow. Yay. So we had a wonderful conversation, just the two of us. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email, that was funny though, loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Sunday at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Great conversation with you, my girl.
It's been nice, yeah.
It's been nice. And again, it goes by. The shows, I'm telling you, things have sped up. They just go by so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, wonderful speaking with you as always. And in the meantime, remember to
follow
the feeling
to you.
Have a great day, my love, and I'll talk to you soon.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.